Bill in Indiana, good morning. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. Good morning.
Well, what's going on with you?
Well, I'm trying to make this as short as possible. I'm going to be 52 next month, and my dad, who was 75, he and I have had a tumultuous relationship my whole entire life. I was pretty young when I would have been diagnosed as what everybody calls OCD now, and it was in response to his alcoholism and the way he treated my mom and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I found out I'm not the only person that, that deals with trying to be perfect so that you don't get yelled at. And it's been this way, like I said, my whole entire life. And, about a year ago, I had decided I was done dealing with him. I just couldn't take it anymore from him calling me at work and being drunk. And it was crazy. Oh, and
well, listen,
to hold on.
I do indeed. Do you mind?
No, no problem at all.
We got to take a quick hard break. We'll be right back. Don't go, because this is an incredibly important topic. So don't go away. Okay.
Okay, I won't.
All right. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. And whatever impairment you're standing between, it doesn't have to be Alzheimer's. It could be alcoholism. If you're standing between that and the worst disaster, you're the caregiver. You're why we do the show. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. This is Hope for the Caregiver on American Family Radio. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 3 decades of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of someone who is not. 888-589-8840 is the number if you want to be a part of the show. We're talking with Bill, who has grown up in the home of an alcoholic father who is, and now you're having to care for him. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah, he, and just one little bit of the story. About a year ago, I just finally decided after the calls at work and, you know, him being in a drunken state and the things he would say and accuse me of, I said, that's it, I'm done. And I talked to him just a couple times, and then this last July, he fell and hit his head, but he was completely inebriated when he fell. So when he went into the hospital, they kind of ran him through, you know, I can't think of the medicine they gave him to help him through the withdrawals and everything. And when he came out of it, he can't swallow very well. The swallowing mechanism is not working, and stuff that he swallows gets into his lungs. So he's had a PEG tube. And I had really prayed. I've got a fantastic wife, a great church. And I had prayed, you know, maybe I need to stay with Dad. When he finally got to come home from the nursing home, he was in the hospital in the nursing home, from the middle of July till about the middle of October. And it's still dealing, you know, it's his house. It's almost like I'm 9 years old again. And he can take care of himself somewhat, but he's scared to be by himself. And there is so much stuff that has happened in life, and I'm always afraid to confront him about it because – like I said, it's like I'm 9 years old, 10 years old. And I just was looking for anything, advice, a book, something to help me get enough fear or get enough over this fear to talk to him and say, hey, you know, the reason you've driven your 2 wives away and your family away is because of, you know, the Jekyll and Hyde dealing with your alcoholism. We need to call it what it is. And I just can't take being, you know, berated anymore, I guess is the short way to say it.
Let's start right there. That's our starting point. The first step is to get you away from being 9 years old. You're 52. So you're not 9 years old, and you are not in any way bound to this man's disease and his behavior. Unfortunately, that's what this disease does. It disorients you and makes you think that you are. So we want to help you detach from that as best as possible. And there are places you can go for that. Al-Anon is I would highly recommend you go into an Al-Anon meeting. Okay. Are you familiar with Al-Anon?
I just have heard of it, and that's all I've ever heard.
I would recommend going. Don't go there with any expectations other than there's a group of people who are dealing with the same stuff that meet in anonymity, and they deal with the same things that you're dealing with a family member who has an addiction issue. And you're going to hear your story come out of somebody else's mouth. And that's where you start, because the principles that you can learn on that will help you detach from your father's disease. You know, okay. You can't shame your father or argue your father or reason with your father into recovery. He's got to do that himself. What you can do is learn for you to live more healthily in this. And okay. And that's the goal. You didn't cause this. You can't fix it. Okay. That's where your powers stop at the end of what you can do. And all you can do is be in control of Bill, not in control of your father or his recovery or his demise. Okay. He may not make it, Bill, but you have to. You've got a family that's counting on you to not be 9 years old, to be 52 years old. Your father's made his choices. He's got his life. He's got his thing going on. He's in a place now where people are starting to see what has happened to him. He may not make it, but you have to. And those are hard words. Those are hard words, Bill. And I don't mean them to be anything other than what they are, because it's blunt force truth. But that's what we as caregivers need in the midst of our craziness, is that blunt force truth. You have spent a lifetime being a slave to your father's disease. And it Yep. will affect you for the rest of your life and your children. So this is your time now to step in to this and say, you know what? No more. No more. I'm going to go on a path of recovery for myself, no matter what happens to my father. I'll do the best I can to care for him, but I am not obligated to fix him, to save him. He has a savior. Look, I tell you what, here's what I do. Look down at your hands. If you don't see nail prints, this ain't yours to fix.
You know,
he has a savior. You ain't that savior. And that's your starting point to realize, okay, what is my responsibility? Honoring your father does not mean honoring his disease. You can honor your father without honoring his disease. And it's hard because it looks like it's the same person, but it is not. Underneath all this dysfunction is your dad, the man you want to honor. And you can, but you do not have to honor alcoholism. What you have to do is back away from that so that you can be healthy no matter what he's doing. When you go home to your wife and your kids after being with your dad, they don't need to have a 9-year-old walk in the house.
Right. Yeah, my wife is fantastic. She's been so supportive. She's always been supportive of this, and she knows how hard it's been. And it's been, this last few months have been really hard trying to figure out where I draw the line. And I guess that'd be maybe the second part of this question is, as far as just confronting him and saying, you know, Dad, here's the deal. Here's this whole situation. Is that something that should come? I mean, should that come from me?
It can, but not right now. Not right now.
Okay.
You're not in a place where you have the vocabulary or the strength to do that on your own. You can get there. And that's why working a good recovery program for yourself is going to help. That's why you go to Al-Anon, they usually have meetings. They have meetings everywhere. You just go on their website. They're everywhere. And it's the best hour you'll ever spend. And it's not necessarily because your dad's an alcoholic that you're going, because you can go to Al-Anon for anything. If you're dealing with something you can't control and you're struggling with it, that's a place, because that's what the whole point is to learn how to come to grips with this. Sit down with your pastor, sit down with a counselor. I would recommend getting a counselor involved with you at this point, Bill, and just sitting down and laying this out, because that's what they do. There are lots of resources out there that you can go to that will strengthen you and give you the vocabulary of doing this. You don't have the tool belt right now. You know, it'd be basically like you going out there and trying to build something with only a screwdriver. You don't have the vocabulary. And so but you know what? We're all going to pull together with you and help you get the vocabulary. And you can do this. And your family will have the vocabulary, and they'll know how to minister to you and know what's going on with you. And your wife will she'll be able to better understand what's going on with you and why that 9-year-old kid seems to emerge all the time in the face of this. And your children will the same way. There is a recovery path for you on this. Now, it's work, but I mean, you're not afraid of work, and it's good work.
No.
It's good work, Bill. It's a way of you reclaiming that which was stolen from you by this terrible disease. This disease has more than one victim. And you can move through this. And this is what God can and will do through your life when you trust him with this. It's going to mean you're learning a different set of skills and words and so forth, and that's okay. But, yeah. You know, this thing will disorient you. It will take you down in some dark places, and you've already been there. You're not responsible for your dad's destruction. You're just not. He's a grown man who's made his own grown man decisions. And at some point, you're going to see where God's even interested in helping him get to a place of recovery, too. God hasn't abandoned him.
Right.
But with alcoholics, you've got to step away from this and let them spiral out of control until they get to the point where they want help more than they want alcohol. And you also have to understand this, Bill. Alcohol is not his problem. That's his idea of medication.
Right.
Whatever's going on in him, he's numbing that with alcohol. And now the alcohol has taken over. But even if he stops drinking today, even if he gets sobered up and never drinks another drop for the rest of his life, he's still got to deal with the inner turmoil of what was going on in his life that led him to that place. So this is a long, long journey that he may or may not be able to make now that he's in physical bad situation here. So your challenge is to detach from this, so that not sever it, just detach, so that you are focused on the healthiest Bill that you can be.
Okay.
That's the goal. And for you and your family, that this thing stops now. For your children's sake, okay. For your wife's sake, for your sake. Does that help?
That certainly does. And there's been many times I felt like I'm just in a whirlwind of not knowing what to do, because I know there's no way to talk to him without getting upset. And I thought, when I was driving in and heard your show, I thought, you know, he's going to have some kind of an idea what I should do next, because I can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with
me. Well, Bill, this is why you're why I do the show. And I'm preaching to myself here, because let me tell you something real quick. And I know you got to go, but I can't argue with my wife's amputation. The legs are gone. I can't argue with that. I can't reason that. I have to accept it. That doesn't mean I have to like it. It just, I have to accept it. Acceptance is not agreement. It's just acceptance. Okay, this is the reality. The reality is your father's an alcoholic, and he has taken everybody that's in his orbit into a bad place with him. That's acceptance. Right. We don't have to like it. We don't have to agree with it, but we do have to accept it in order for us to be able to say, okay, it is what it is. Now let's get to a place of safety. He may not make it, but you have to. Bill, please keep listening to the show, and feel free to call in anytime.
All right. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome, Bill. Thank you so much. 888-589-8840. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and this is part of what we do here is understand that this is not about nursing homes, folks. This is not about learning how to caregive. I'm not here to tell anybody how to caregive. I'm here to help point my fellow caregivers and myself to a place of safety where we can live a calmer, healthier, and dare I say it, a more joyful life, no matter what's going on around us. That's the whole point. 888-589-8840. We'll be right back with more of your calls. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, and we're glad you're with us. HopeForTheCaregiver.com.
Have you ever struggled to trust God when lousy things happen to you? I'm Gracie Rosenberger, and in 1983, I experienced a horrific car accident leading to 80 surgeries and both legs amputated. I questioned why God allowed something so brutal to happen to me, but over time, my questions changed, and I discovered courage to trust God. That understanding, along with an appreciation for quality prosthetic limbs, led me to establish Standing with Hope. For more than a dozen years, we've been working with the government of Ghana and West Africa, equipping and training local workers to build and maintain quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. On a regular basis, we purchase and ship equipment and supplies. And with the help of inmates in a Tennessee prison, we also recycle parts from donated limbs. All of this is to point others to Christ, the source of my hope and strength. please visit standingwithhope.com to learn more and participate in lifting others up. That's standingwithhope.com. I'm Gracie, and I am Standing with Hope.